السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين محبت سب کے لیے نفرت کسی سے نہیں. ہم خاص طور پر
وی اسپیشلی پریزنٹ دی سلوگن اور موٹو آف لو فار آل ہیٹریڈ فار نن بیفور نان احمدیز اینڈ ادرز. وی پریزنٹ دس موٹو ان آرڈر ٹو ڈسپیل دا مسکنسپشن اور ڈسپیل دا فیلسی دیٹ دی احمدیہ مسلم کمیونٹی اور دی ممبرز of our Jamaat hold any rancor or animosity towards any other person. So in order to alleviate this misunderstanding, we present this slogan, or that we consider ourselves better than others. Another reason for proclaiming this slogan of love for all, hatred for none, is to remove this mistaken belief and misapprehension that Islam does not provide teachings of love, of affection, of kindness and good treatment of others, and of being mindful of the feelings and sentiments of others. So the notion is completely erroneous that Islam is a religion of cruelty, barbarism, and severity. Another reason for proclaiming this slogan and motto is to signify that we break the walls of hatred and enmity and instead choose to live in mutual love and affection. This is our desire. So when we discharge any service to humanity, or if we preach the religion of Islam, then this also is based on the fact that we hold love for every single human being in the world. We wish to uproot the seed of hatred and animosity from the heart of every single person and instead plant the tree of love and harmony. So why is all of this the case? It is purely for the reason that our master and guide, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, taught us this. All of this is due to the fact that we observe the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, in deep agony and yearning, waking up at nights, crying and weeping out of his love, compassion and sympathy for mankind. The Holy Prophet's anxiety, distress and anguish would be so deep, and he would weep so profusely in his prostrations of prayers, that Allah the Almighty has mentioned and recorded this in the Holy Quran. for all mankind until the end of time, for such people who are devoid of rancor and malice. This has been preserved as an evidence and a proof. So all future generations can stop to think and deliberate before raising any allegation against the Holy Prophet ﷺ by focusing and reflecting upon this agony and deep pain of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Further, so that those who associate themselves with the Holy Prophet ﷺ, those who call themselves Muslims, can make an effort to tread upon this blessed model and example that he left behind. So Allah the Almighty states, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِئٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Meaning, so happily thou wilt grieve thyself to death with sorrow after them, if they believe not in this discourse. So these people who have been mentioned, what was it that they did not believe in? It was to desist from shirk, associating partners with God. When admonished, they rejected to do so. When inculcated to not consider that God has a son, they would also refuse to do this. Shirk, or associating partners with God, is a sin which Allah the Almighty has said He will not forgive. So thus, this is purely compassion, sympathy and love for every single human being. And this even extends to love for polytheists. That is to say, in order to make them reform and bring them to the straight path, where on the one hand practical efforts are required, there also prayer should be made for them. So if Ahmadis desire to ascertain the correct perception and insight into the motto of love for all, hatred for none, then we would have to learn the methods taught by our master and guide, the benefactor of mankind, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. This will only be possible when we gauge and assess the level of our own belief in Tawheed, the unity and oneness of God. We further find another example of expression of love and compassion when we find extreme levels of cruelty and persecution from certain people. At that point, prayers are not made for their destruction, but rather prayers are made that, O Allah, guide these people, for they are oblivious to the fact that my advice is for their benefit and gain. When other tribes and other people cause hardships and suffering, and it is said to curse them and pray against them, then even then, on a occasion, the Holy Prophet ﷺ raised up his hands in prayers. People assumed that he was cursing them, and the nation and tribe would be destroyed. Yet the Holy Prophet said, O Allah, guide the tribe of Dos. So thus, the love did and does not extend only to one's own people. The compassion and sympathy was not limited to his own followers. In fact, love and sympathy and compassion was extended to other people at exactly the same standard. It was and is purely an anguish and agony to establish Tawheed, the unity of Allah, so that the world can be saved from ruin and destruction. Today also, there are thousands of forms of shirk which are rampant and prevalent. This is not only limited to shirk. In fact, a large proportion of the world deny the existence of God altogether. So therefore, in order to establish the governance and authority of Allah and Tawheed, the oneness and unity of Allah, we also need to adopt and implement and abide that which has been taught by the Holy Prophet ﷺ by his personal example and practice. We should not be merely contented and satisfied by the fact that we have raised a slogan and motto that is appreciated by the people of the world, and that we receive acclaim and praise as a result of this. Indeed, we need to always remember that this slogan and motto is a means to achieve that all-encompassing objective for which man was created. So therefore, our compassionate work to serve humanity, our spreading and expression of love, and also our actions and practices in this regard. Our aversion to hatred, which is not only an aversion to hatred, but which is a hatred for hatred itself, are all purely for the sake of attaining the pleasure of Allah, and to establish His Tawheed, the unity and oneness of God. Our hatred is not hatred for any person, but it is hatred only for satanic or evil acts, and this should be the case. We have sympathy and compassion for the people who commit satanic acts. The requirement of this compassion is that we remove them from this filth, so that they can be saved from the punishment of Allah. Our love for the people of the world and compassion and sympathy towards them is not on the basis of any worldliness or materialism. We strive to remove any animosity and enmity towards any person of the world from our heart, not for any personal gain or vested interests. Rather, it is purely for the sake of attaining the pleasure of Allah, and for the establishment of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. It is to entrench and enroot the oneness of Allah, the Tawheed of Allah, to a greater degree than ever before in our hearts. So therefore, we should not raise slogans or present mottos merely to become popular in the world. Our expression should not be for this purpose, but rather we should raise these slogans and mottos purely to obtain this overarching objective. In this current era, we are the fortunate ones whom the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, on whom be peace, was chosen by Allah the Almighty to explain the means and methods of attaining the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and the principles of showing sympathy and compassion towards the creation and mankind. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, provided us teachings and explanations in this regard. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has said, "There are two complete or perfect parts of the faith. One is to love God, and the other is to show such compassion and love towards humanity as if to consider their difficulties as your own, and to pray for them." Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, said, "It is not the right or proper way to inflict suffering upon anyone purely as a result of differences of religion." In one gathering, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, said the following, "It is my faith and belief that even towards the enemy, one should not extend hardships beyond limits. I say most truly that you should not consider anyone your personal enemy. This habit of harboring rancor and malice should be completely uprooted from within you." Where it says here in the first part that do not transgress in your harsh stance even towards an enemy, one may think here that if we say that we do not have hatred towards anyone, then how can you have enmity towards anyone? So the response of this is also being provided, that do not consider anyone your personal enemy. Those who are your enemies as a result of religion, who themselves have transgressed in the enmity, whereas you do not have any hatred in your heart. Those who have hatred towards you, make an effort to reform them, but do not fall into the trap of making them your personal enemies, and do not even bring about the thought in your heart of having any personal enemies. Secondly, remove yourself from the habit of holding malice and rancor towards others. Regarding removing hatred, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has advised, "Love and compassion and sympathy towards mankind is a great act of worship. In order to obtain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, this is an immense and great means." Allah the Almighty states that without discrimination between religion and creed, love and show compassion towards people. Feed the hungry, free the slaves, alleviate the debt of those who are in debt, and help bear the burden of those who are in burden, and fulfill the right of true sympathy and love towards mankind. On another occasion, the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, I dislike the stance of such people who want to limit their love and sympathy towards only their own people. I repeatedly admonish you that you must not in any means limit the sphere of your love and sympathy. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has said that you should show such sympathy and love towards the mankind as if they are your real relatives, in the same way that mothers treat their children. One who performs virtues with the natural passions and sentiments that a mother has can never show off or be pretentious. So therefore, these are the standards of showing compassion, love and sympathy towards others. And all of this should be the case, because it is the command of Allah and His Messenger. Allah the Almighty has commanded this to us in the Holy Quran. So this is an extremely beautiful teaching regarding showing sympathy and compassion and love towards humanity that Islam has taught us. Can we obtain these standards anywhere else? By leaving the God who has provided these teachings, and by leaving the chosen one of this age, who came in servitude to the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. This is absolutely impossible. So therefore, our love for all and hatred for none is not our ultimate objective. In fact, it is a means of obtaining the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. We should always keep this in view, and we need to make efforts exactly for this. For some time now, I have thought and realized that our organization for serving humanity, called Humanity First, its administration and perhaps its workers have come to think that they should separate themselves entirely from the religion. And they were thinking that if they separate themselves from the religion, then perhaps they will be appreciated more in the world. So I admonish the central administration of Humanity First here that your significance and importance lies purely in the fact that you are attached to the religion and that you use the name of the Jamaat somewhere or the other. If somewhere or the other you have to mention the name of the Jamaat, there is no harm in that. What should be kept in mind is that you must serve humanity to please Allah the Almighty. It is the command of Allah that fulfill the rights of people, and that is why you must serve mankind. In order to please Allah the Almighty, one needs to strengthen his relationship with Allah the Almighty, and it is necessary to also protect and safeguard your worship. Without these things, there is no point of serving humanity. It would be worthless. So they have come to understand this. However, I would like to say to the Humanity First branches in other countries of the world, I want to say to their workers and to the administration, who are virtually all Ahmadis, with the exception of perhaps a handful. And I want to say that blessings will only be infused in your work and your endeavors when you strengthen your relationship with Allah the Almighty. And blessings will only come into your work and in your tasks when you become those who obtain the blessings of Allah the Almighty and make an effort to do so. And when you begin all your work with prayers, without this, no blessings can come into your work. However much planning you undertake through your intellect and wisdom. So nonetheless, I was thinking that I would mention this point, and I said this today in this reference. Whether you say that it is said in this connection or in this relation, in any case, I felt it was essential to mention this. Now, I will come towards the issue of the motto, love for all, hatred for none. I want to clarify that indeed, service of the faith and sympathy and compassion to mankind, the spreading of love, the ending of enmities are all great virtues. However, it should not be presumed that this slogan and motto is the ultimate objective of our lives. We should not fall into the misapprehension that we will obtain everything through this motto alone. As I have explained earlier, this slogan and motto is a part of this objective. It is a step towards that stage and that objective, to obtain which the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent. In this era, in servitude to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the promised Messiah alaihi salatu wasallam was sent to achieve and attain this. And this purpose is to develop correct insight and knowledge and perception into the oneness of Allah. It is to try to follow all the commandments that have been prescribed by Allah the Almighty. It is to consider the blessed model of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as one's example and aim, and to make maximum efforts in order to tread on his path. It is this alone through which all forms of high morals and pieties can be achieved. In the era of Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, there was a discussion and debate between the scholars in the form of articles that was published in the Al-Fazl. Some elders presented their viewpoints on the issue of what the motto or objective or aim of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat should be. Upon this, the motto or slogan that the Hazrat Musleh Maud gave, or what he drew attention towards, is such, through which the religion is strengthened, through which one's faith is enhanced, one is able to discharge the rights due to Allah and also the rights due to mankind. Amongst two of the scholars, one says that we believe the motto should be Fastabiqul Khairat, vying with one another with good works. The other said that the motto or slogan should be that I will give precedence to my faith over all worldly matters. Hadar Musleh Maud responded, indeed, there should be some motto or slogan. For all the organizations that are found in the world, when they are established, they adopt some slogan or motto or the other. If they are serious and they want to discharge their responsibilities, then they make efforts to fulfill and discharge that motto suitably, so that they can distinguish themselves from others. Moral progress is also made into a motto and slogan. Educational progress and advancement is also a slogan and motto that is used in the world. If the rights of anyone are being usurped, then political organizations make freedom and independence their motto and slogan and make efforts to this effect. In any other circumstance in the world, mottos and slogans are made in accordance with that. So nonetheless, the basic purpose of any motto or slogan is to try and establish that in the world. and to always keep that within the community at all times, to maintain it before the world and also before oneself. There are thousands of forms of virtue in the world. If we were to select just one virtue, then it is evident it would be good, and it is an objective, an aim to work towards. However, this does not mean that all the other forms of virtue are no longer needed or become redundant. Indeed, normally, in accordance with the requirement and ease, we select one of the virtues and make it into a motto or slogan. Nonetheless, any good motto which anyone assigns for himself would be a form of virtue. Hazrat Musleh Maud explained that there are some mottos which are very similar and intertwined. For example, take Obey Allah the Almighty, and also the motto that increase your virtues. Now these are codependent. For without obedience to Allah the Almighty, no one will be able to perform a virtue. And he who is not virtuous cannot be one who is obedient to God. Similarly, take the motto that I will give precedence to my faith over worldly matters, and also the motto that I will try to vie with one another with good works. They are similar and coexist. So therefore, all virtues are virtues, and we must make an effort to adopt every single one of them. However, when the question arises with regards to a motto, then one limits his attention towards that only, and some people completely limit their virtues to only the motto, or consider that their ultimate objective and everything. This is true amongst our youth and also some other people. The religious condition is dire, but to show to the world, they greatly focus on the slogan and motto, love for all, hatred for none. This is fine. To promote the teachings of Islam is a virtuous thing, and in this sense, this motto is excellent. However, this is not our only aim and objective. As I said, we have all-encompassing objectives. Similarly, if you want to show sympathy and love towards mankind, then just that alone is nothing. If you are forgetting God in your hearts, then that also would be worthless. Hazrat Musleh Maud has written that when I read these articles and discussions, I remember the account of a Jew. He said to Hazrat Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, during a conversation or discussion, that we are very jealous of Muslims. Hazrat Musleh Maud inquired that what is the basis for this jealousy and why do you feel it? The Jew said that we are jealous of the fact that Islam has a special distinction and quality. There is no matter in the world which is not included amongst the commandments in the Holy Quran and of Islam. From personal affairs to international matters, all injunctions and commands, all problems and difficulties and their remedies and solutions are entailed in the Holy Quran and in Islam. This is something which causes jealousy from us. So thus, if we keep before us, every single one of us that is, then we will come to clearly know that to select just one aspect of Islam as a motto is incorrect. So perhaps Fastabiqul Khairat is an excellent motto, and that I will give precedence to my faith over worldly matters is also something excellent. The Holy Quran has also drawn attention towards this, as is in the verse, وَلْتُؤْسِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. that foolish people give precedence to the world over the faith, whereas the hereafter, that is the result of this world, is much more superior, greater, and everlasting. We often recite this verse in the Jummah. In addition, there are so many commandments found in the Holy Quran. So there is no teaching of the Holy Quran which cannot be made into a motto or aim or objective. Whichever one we give our attention towards and study, it will draw our hearts towards it. After this introduction, Hadhrat Muslih Maud said, "We learn from the Holy Quran that the Holy Prophet Muhammad ﷺ's era was an era which testified to Zahar al-Fasado fil Barri wal-Bahar, that corruption has overtaken the land and the sea. There was no vice or evil that was not found in that time. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, is the shadow or reflection of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So therefore also the time of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, is a reflection of that period. We observe that today also, all types of vices and evil have reached the pinnacle. So thus today, there is a need for religion. There is also a need of all forms of morals. Every characteristic and quality and progress in the world is also required. Where faith has vanquished from the hearts of people, their good morals and etiquettes have also. True worldly progress has also vanished. For just now, what people call progress and advancement is actually a projection of selfish, egotistical desires. Whether that relates to personal level or international level, what people call progress today is actually an obtaining of one's vested interests. That cannot be called true progress of the world, because only one section of the world is benefiting from that. Another section of the world are being made into slaves, whether they are political slaves or economical or societal slaves. In some way or the other, one section of the world are becoming slaves, and for them this is not progress. Those who are realizing progress, they also have their vested interests. There is selfishness and egos which they are calling progress. So as such, to say that such and such verse should be made a motto or slogan or an objective and others should be left behind is incorrect. In fact, every verse of the Holy Quran is our motto and is our aim and objective, and they should be. So thus, our motto is the whole and entire Holy Quran. But if we require to have an abbreviated motto, Hadhrat Muslih Maud has explained that Allah the Almighty has already assigned that to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. There is none worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad is His messenger. This is the summary of the entire Holy Quran, and in essence and in reality, all teachings, all high objectives, are all related to Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. Similarly, mutual relations between mankind and the relationship between man and God are also included as part of Tawheed, the unity of Allah. Tawheed is something that without the help and support of the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, cannot manifest. Thus, with La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah has also been assigned. That the search for the true being that is worthy of worship, or if you wish to see God, then you also have to see him through the help of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is as if those glasses through which the true being can be seen. When the help of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is utilized, then from the beginning to the end of the Holy Quran, everywhere, the subject matter of La ilaha illallah will become visible. So therefore, it is the blessed person of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam through which his coming in the world, unity of Allah was established. Whereas prior to this, some people had made Hazrat Uzair, some people had made Jesus, peace be upon him, as a son of God. Some of them had made angels as the gods. In such a time, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam removed all disorder, corruption and wrong. Allah the Almighty sent the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the establishment of Tawheed. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, through the person of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Tawheed, the unity of Allah, was established in the world. This is the motto of La ilaha illallah, which we also raise with our azan, the call to prayer. When someone is brought into Islam, he is also made to say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, for true Islam is exactly the name of this. If anyone has any weakness in the faith and religion, it is purely and exactly for this reason, that he has forgotten La ilaha illallah. Otherwise, if we always keep La ilaha illallah in view, then a person can be saved from religious and spiritual weaknesses. It is not the object to only verbally say La ilaha illallah, as people often do. Even if they lie, they will still say La ilaha illallah. In fact, if you say La ilaha illallah, then it should be with the greatness, splendor, glory, fear, and with all the attributes of Allah in view. As has been explained and mentioned already, the essence of La ilaha illallah is only truly manifested and explained through the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So until a person does not become fully immersed and devoted to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he cannot fully comprehend Tawheed, the unity of Allah, or we cannot truly understand Tawheed completely or perfectly. And nor can he understand his perfect and complete manifestation. That is to say, the Holy Quran. Those who do not completely devote themselves and immerse themselves in the Holy Prophet ﷺ and do not understand Tawheed despite having intellect remain embroiled in shirk, associating partners with Allah. Leave aside non-Muslims. Even amongst the Muslims, there is a large proportion and majority who have made the peers, the ascetics, and certain so-called saints as their gods. It is alleged regarding Ahmadis that God forbid they slander and insult the Holy Prophet ﷺ and have excommunicated themselves from Islam. But in truth, it is these people who have not recognized the status of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and as a result they are distant from Tawheed, the unity of Allah. In this era, the true insight and perception of this Tawheed was attained by the promised Messiah on whom be peace. And all of this was as a result of being completely devoted and immersed in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who the world calls a disbeliever, is in fact the true promoter and upholder of Tawheed, the oneness of God. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was completely lost in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thus he came to see that Jesus, peace be upon him, had actually passed away. To consider him as alive is shirk, associating partners with God. Before him, there were hundreds of thousands of scholars and also knowledgeable people who used to attribute divine qualities to Jesus, peace be upon him, such as believing that he continues to be alive in the heavens till today, that he used to bring dead people back to life, they had the knowledge of the unseen, and so on and so forth. However, as a result of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, today, we, in fact, even every Ahmadi child, through all sorts of intellectual and arguments, cannot tolerate to remain on this belief and doctrine. In the same way, there are many other matters which the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, as a result of being totally devoted to the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, acquired a spiritual light and explained to us, and removed us from shirk, associating partners with God. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, on whom be peace, explained the manifestation and showed to them the reality of La ilaha illallah to the people of this time. And this actually is the essence of Islam. And every perfect, complete believer in the one God is necessary to hold this belief. All the rest are explanations, which for different people changes in different forms and circumstances. Just as the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to somebody that the great form of virtue is to serve your parents. To another person, he said the great form of virtue is jihad in the way of Allah. To another, he said the best form of virtue is the performance of tahajjud prayer. So, in order to remove the basic weaknesses in every person, he addressed each person and drew their attention accordingly. However, this never meant to not perform any of the other virtues. So it should be remembered and borne in mind that all the commandments and injunctions of the Holy Quran in their own right are extremely excellent and beneficial. However, La ilaha illallah encompasses all of them. So this is the true motto that we need to keep in view at all times. We need to reflect and deliberate upon the reality and essence of Tawheed and also its establishment. Tawheed does not only entail that a person does not worship idols, or that a person simply does not consider anyone else alive in comparison to God, or that you do not associate any partners with Allah the Almighty. In fact, in everything you do in the world, there is a relation with Tawheed, the unity of Allah. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, at the time before he slept and at the time of ablution, used to pronounce Tawheed. When one relies and trusts completely on any one person for any worldly work, as if that is everything, then that person actually is performing shirk, associating partners with God. And his claim to be one who believes in the unity of Allah would be falsified. For an essential requirement and condition of Tawheed is that a person only has trust and reliance in the being of Allah the Almighty. The meaning of Tawheed is, indeed, that in everything you do, whether it is spiritual or worldly, one should only look towards the one God. So indeed, all the pious statements and virtuous sentences are excellent and are good mottos. However, in order to become one who perfectly believes in the one Allah the Almighty, it is necessary and essential that everything else is removed from one's view. And apart from Allah the Almighty, everything else should become insignificant and as if non-existent. So the true motto is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. All virtues are encompassed within this. To understand Tawheed, the difficulties that are contained within it, La ilaha illallah provides the solutions within. In order to remove difficulties and problems, this should be an example before us. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam left behind the very best example. Hazrat Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, described this in one sentence, that kana khuluquhul Quran, that his morals were the Holy Quran. In this one sentence, the high status of Tawheed is explained. The commandments of the Holy Quran, its true practical illustration and the correct standard were also elucidated, and the details of the commandments also are provided. So he who understands properly the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam understands Allah the Almighty, and he who understands Allah the Almighty, he has understood everything, because shirk is in fact the root of all evil, all negligence and all sins. And after being established on Tawheed, high morals, knowledge, civilization and culture, politics and excellence in other aspects of life and sciences are all achieved. Because the spiritual light of Allah the Almighty is the remedy and cure for all ailments. So therefore, our motto which Allah the Almighty has assigned Himself, is La ilaha illallah. Everything else are explanations, which are useful by means of advising and admonishing. In this era, because the Dajjal, with all his force, is prevalent in the world. His purpose is to make the world always give preference to materialism and worldliness over the faith. This is the objective of the Dajjal. So therefore, it is our duty to compete and challenge with this, and to raise the slogan and motto giving precedence to the faith over the world. So this is why the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the conditions of Bayt, has included this sentence. And this means exactly this, that we should always implement the teachings of the faith, and in response to the allegation of every person who raises criticism, we will present the true face of Islam. And all of this is purely as a result of the fact that we wish to establish and enroot La ilaha illallah all over the world. In this era, we have taken the bet of the promised Messiah alayhi salam for this very purpose. The promised Messiah alayhi salam received the revelation from Allah the Almighty. Khuzud Tawheed Ya Ibn al-Faris, that O the progeny of the Ibn al-Faris, hold fast to Tawheed. Ibn al-Faris does not only mean his family. In fact, the entire Jamaat from a spiritual perspective come under Ibn al-Faris. This injunction and commandment is for all the Jamaat. It is a rule that at the time of difficulty and tribulation, a person holds on to something in particular. So it is said that you, in a time of difficulty, hold fast to Tawheed, for everything is encompassed within it. So therefore, it behoves our Jamaat as a duty and responsibility that the motto of La ilaha illallah should always be kept in view. Today, when alongside shirk, atheism is also rapidly spreading. In fact, atheism is a form of shirk. Or shirk is a form of atheism. So in this circumstance, we cannot limit ourselves to one motto and to be merely satisfied with that alone. We cannot cater for our life in this world and the next through it. Nor can we be in a presumption of only serving humanity, leave our worship and our prayers. Those who do this, he has no connection with the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. So therefore, we must keep our true objective and aim at all times, so that we can become those who receive all rewards, bounties and blessings. May Allah the Almighty enable all of us to understand this reality. After the Friday prayers, I will also lead a funeral prayers. Has the body come here? It is of Siddiq Akbar Rahman Sahib, Fazlur Rahman Sahib, the late son he was. He lived in Waltham Forest, UK, and he passed away on 7th May as a result of cancer at the age of 40. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. From a Jamaati perspective, he did not hold many offices, but as a Jamaat worker, he always remained extremely active. He had a very strong connection with Khilafat. He had great belief in prayers and the being of Allah. He had a very long ailment which he suffered from cancer, and with great patience, tolerance and endurance, he spent this time in this condition. May Allah the Almighty grant him forgiveness, and may Allah the Almighty grant him a place in the rewards of his paradise. May Allah the Almighty grant patience to his mother. He is survived by his wife and a child who is perhaps 1 or 1.5 years old. May Allah the Almighty also be their helper and protector.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu نستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.